Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, here we are again with another blessed opportunity to come before the Lord and to worship Him and to study His Word. Praise God. You know, in these uncertain days we live in, you just never know how many chances you're going to have to do this. But I thank God that we can be here tonight. And, you know, it may be cold outside. It was 16 degrees on the drive over. And, of course, yesterday we had this terrible ice glaze, or they said it was very dangerous to even drive on the road, so a lot of places were closed up. But you know, even when you have inclement weather like that, it's still a beautiful day when you serve the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for all of you who are listening online as well. It's so good to have you with us, and even though we can't see your faces, we know that you are all here with us in spirit, and we appreciate every single one of you. We're going to open with a prayer tonight before we do anything else. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast kept us, that thou hast protected us, and that thou hast brought us here once again. We thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity to come before thee. And we thank thee, O God, for this opportunity to praise thee, to sing thy praises and to worship thy holy name, to exalt thy precious name. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with us throughout the entirety of this service. We ask, Lord, that thy perfect will would be accomplished here this night. Help us to reach out to thee in faith, and we pray that thy presence would be felt by all who are here and by all who are listening online. We ask for a touch from thee and do a mighty work, we pray, in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. Praise God. We are going to start with number 294 in our Melodies of Praise hymnal, Victory in Jesus, 294.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He punished me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and
and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 122 and sing My Burdens Rolled Away, number 122. I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took him at his word, then at once all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. My burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that I feared would never leave night or day. And Jesus showed to me the loss, so I left them at the cross. I was glad when my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, I am happy since my burdens rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that had hindered me for years, night and day. As I sought the throne of grace, just a glimpse of Jesus' face, and I knew that my burdens could not stay. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I am singing since my burdens rolled away. There's a song within my heart night and day. I am living for my King, and with joy I shout and sing. Hallelujah, all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away.
since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I'm happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we have a request from Eljash here for number 237 in the hymnal. That's such a good one. Of course, we'll sing it. I've Anchored in Jesus, number 237.
Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me as storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has filled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life all brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn next to number 93. Oh, I want to see him. Number 93.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever, of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whatever tide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain height, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn now to number 173 and sing When We All Get to Heaven. 173. We
can be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toys of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. Get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I am looking forward to that day when we all get to heaven. That truly will be a day of rejoicing, because I tell you what, there's a lot of problems in this world. This world has a way of becoming a truly miserable place sometimes. And you know, when you stop and think about it, the things that cause you the most problems in your life, the vast majority of them, it seems like they come from other people. I know my wife has been having some trouble with some of her coworkers who've been stirring up a lot of strife, and she was so exasperated by all that, she was actually pondering whether or not she should quit. But, you know, the world can be a rough place. And I know we all have issues that we go through. We all have trials to face. But as we endure those trials, as I was saying on Sunday, when you endure those trials and you overcome those trials, you come out stronger. Your faith comes out stronger than it was before. Praise the Lord. We go from faith to faith. And ultimately, our end goal is to reach that place where we can see Jesus face to face and be with Him for all eternity. That day is coming. Praise God. Well, I do want to thank all of you for praying for me. I know I've been having some unusual problems lately. And as I mentioned last Wednesday and last Sunday, I had been unable to sneeze for quite some time, but yesterday I finally sneezed. In fact, I sneezed 3 times, and today I also sneezed once, so I'm thankful that I've been able to do that. Sometimes I still have a little trouble, like it feels like I need to sneeze and I can't quite get it, but it does seem like that situation there is improving. I think it's probably just sinuses. I think maybe they were inflamed or something, and you know, Leah was saying, well, you sound kind of plugged up. I probably still do a little bit, but that has improved, so I thank you for your prayers, and hopefully things will continue to improve in that regard. I haven't heard anything from the IRS yet. If you were listening on Sunday, you know about that ordeal, but I don't expect to hear from them too soon, because I know that they're very, very backed up right now and incredibly slow. So I can't really even think about that right now, because the job I have set before me is to start the next newsletter, and I plan to start writing tomorrow. I tell you what, this is quite a world that we live in right now. And I know a lot of people are probably feeling pretty good, because all of the experts and the scientists now are saying, well, we think the worst is over. We think the pandemic is just about done. And states all over the United States, even Democrat-governed states, are
nixing their mask mandates. In fact, last I heard, 49 out of 50 states had canceled their mask mandates, which I guess is wonderful. You know, a lot of people are happy about that. And right now what they're fighting over in a lot of places is whether or not the children in school should stay masked, because they say, well, a lot of kids haven't been vaccinated yet, so maybe they should keep their mask on. That is so stupid, though, because, you could make them wear masks to school, but then they're going to go home and be unmasked and be around other people who have been around other people who weren't wearing masks, as if the mask did anything in the first place. You know, just recently with this Omicron variant, they even had doctors who said those most masks that people wear, the cloth masks, are basically face decoration. They said you have to get the N95 or equivalent for it to actually do anything. And, of course, most people don't have those. But, you know, for a lot of people, of course, they're very happy that those mandates seem to be going out of the way. And some places now have even started to lift their vaccine mandate requirements. So that's a big improvement as well. You know, I really feel that maybe this Omicron variant that came along was actually a blessing in disguise. And, maybe the Lord sent it to put a stop to this pandemic, because I feel like maybe they had plans for it to go on for a while yet. But I'm thankful that it seemed to be improving in that regard. But I tell you what, we still live in a terribly volatile world. There are so many other issues. And, of course, this pandemic has set a lot of dangerous precedents. The government, in fact, governments around the world now know that if there's a health emergency or a national emergency, if they determine there to be one, and even if there isn't, they can cook something up. But if they decide there is one, they can lock everyone down. And they know that most people are going to comply with that now. And we see a lot of people have gone along with vaccine mandates and masking mandates and all of these mandates. I don't think we've seen the end of mandates. I think there will be more in the future, perhaps not necessarily because of COVID-19, although if they decide there's another variant out there, a variant of concern, who knows? But when you look at what happened up in Canada, of course, that was something else, too. They had that freedom convoy with all those truckers. And, of course, they said that these truckers were illegally blocking these bridges and so forth in Canada and preventing others from getting across the border. So I don't know if they were troops or just the Mounties or what, but armed goons, I guess you could say, they went in and they started hauling these people off. And there's been talk of freezing all of their bank accounts, seizing their assets. And it's even been suggested that they should confiscate all of these big rigs that these truckers drive and sell them to recoup the losses for the protests. And Justin Trudeau up there in Canada has really become quite the little tyrant. He invoked emergency powers, and he's been heavily criticized for it. Obviously, there are a lot of people in Canada who are unhappy with the way things are and the way his government is. But, you know, we could see things like that happen in the United States very easily. In fact, there's been talk of a freedom convoy in the United States, and they're thinking about driving to Washington, D.C. in time for the State of the Union address. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, there's great potential here for a lot of peril. And, of course, they're talking about war between Ukraine and Russia. And the way they make it sound, it could happen any time. War could break out, and that could be a very, very serious thing if it does. And as I've said for a while now, I really think that, you know, if this happens, it's a real possibility, a very dangerous possibility, that China could decide to use that time when the United States is otherwise occupied to go in and invade Taiwan and overtake Taiwan. And now I've been seeing news stories where they think that same thing could actually happen. And I've seen several news stories where they're very, very worried about that. So we no doubt live in very perilous times, and there's a lot of things that could happen. And of course, this inflation problem is really out of control, and they're talking about shortages of gas, possibly gasoline, especially if there's a war between Ukraine and Russia. There's even talk of possibly coffee shortages, which I know would upset a lot of people even more than a gas shortage. And we are just, who knows what's coming around the bend. So we have to work while it is day. We have to work while we have the opportunity. As long as we can get here, as long as we can be here, as long as we can sing and worship God, and as long as we can study His Word and gather together, we're going to keep on doing that. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I guess I should probably stop talking in a minute here because the clock is ticking and it's about time for Shirley to get up here. So we will have her do that in just a moment. But, yeah, what a world. And it should be an interesting newsletter, so be on the lookout for that. Within the next week or so, we should be mailing that out. Praise God. All right, well, we're going to have Shirley come up. I guess we don't really have time for another song because it's gotten so late already, so I'm just going to turn this lavalier on. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to have Shirley come up. She's going to lead a Bible study. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everyone. It is good to be here, amen. I'm so thankful that we have the Lord. You know, I'm so glad we could sing those songs of Zion. It just, oh my, sometimes there's just these recalls when we sing some of these old songs. And oh my, I was just thinking how wonderful it was that night that the Lord got my attention. He called me to salvation. You know, I just wasn't that inclined before that moment. You know, and it just is such a marvel because everything changed at that point. There was that call from God. And all at once, all I knew is I had to get right with God. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for such a moment. Oh, that moment when He met with me and changed my life. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it hadn't been for the mercy of the Lord and His goodness, His faithfulness. And oh my, it's a wonderful way. It's a wonderful thing to see how the Lord works in lives. And you know, if He did it for me, He could do it for others too. Amen. Praise the Lord. If He's done it for you, praise the Lord. He can do it for your children, for your grandchildren. Praise the Lord, your neighbors. So if we could just have faith and believe God in such times as these, I know our God is the same. And He is working. Oh, praise the Lord. It is His desire that all would come to repentance. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we have this wonderful privilege. Thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for such moments. We thank You that we could gather here at this place. Oh, Lord, that You've given us these opportunities. You've given us this place, Lord. Oh, God, these moments. And as Brother Samuel said, we don't know what's ahead. We don't know, oh my, how many opportunities we could even have. But, oh Lord, we thank You, God, that You've been with us, that You opened up our hearts, Lord, that we could hear Thy cry, oh God, that we could hear Thy voice and know, God, that, oh Lord, there was a need, that we could come to You, Lord, that we could repent of our sins and turn our lives over to You, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You would talk in our hearts tonight. I pray that You talk to us. I pray, oh God, that Your Spirit would move, Lord. For we need thy power, Lord. We need the Holy Ghost to fall upon us, Lord. We need the times of refreshing that come from thy presence, O Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. And I just pray, O Lord, that you would move here tonight. Oh God, that you would give us faith, Lord, that we might believe you, that you'd give us patience, Lord, to endure until the end and to hold fast those things which you have shown and that you've given us, Lord. Oh God, to claim thy promises. Oh Lord, not to look back, but to go forward and to believe you, Jesus, regardless of what's going on in this world. I pray that you'd minister to our hearts. I pray that the devil would be rebuked, that he'd have no place here. Oh God, I pray that you'd put faith in our beings. Oh Lord, that you'd take care of the discouragement. And oh God, all the negativisms, all the thoughts, oh God, even of despair. Oh Lord, thou knowest how to lift us up and put us in heavenly places. You know how to give us faith, Lord. Faith to endure it to the end, oh Lord. Oh God, so we can stand before thee, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd work here, Lord. You know the needs even before we ask. I thank you for what you've done, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you that we can put our confidence in you, Lord. You are that solid rock. And, oh, thank God we can anchor to that rock, oh, Lord. Oh, that rock that's not going anywhere. And, oh, Lord, if we're anchored to that rock, oh, Lord, we are settled in thy words, in thy ways, oh, Lord. Oh, God, on thy salvation, Lord. And I just pray that you'd work in us and help us, Lord. Move in a mighty way, Lord. You know the battles that people are facing. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you give us endurance, that you give us faith, that you move in us, Lord. We could do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you'd move here tonight, Lord. I give this message to you, and I ask that you'd use it for your kingdom's sake, for your people's sake, oh, Lord. Oh, God, for encouragement among the body of Christ, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' precious name and put this into thy hands, Lord. Oh, God, be with those that are struggling, those that are in pain, those that need, oh, Lord, a new touch from you, Lord. I pray that you would move in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Our God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We were in the book of James last week, and I plan to work this out. What I didn't quite finish last week, I pray that the Lord will help me to do it. We called it The Workings of Faith, and we're dealing quite largely with accounts given in the book of James. And just to go over some of the things that we covered last week rather briefly, let's just tell again what we were dealing with. And I know that we talked about the need for faith, the trial of faith that we all go through, and how it works patience, and the need to let patience have its work and do what it's needed to do in our lives. Because the Lord does use afflictions. He does use struggles to get us to higher ground. Praise the Lord. So our faith, when it's tried, works patience. Amen. And also in that first chapter, James, it talked about the need to have a faith that doesn't waver. And oh, yes. We don't want to be like that wave that is tossed about in the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And, you know, we are told that if that's the way our so-called faith is, then we're not going to receive anything from God. So, by all means, we want to have a faith that does not waver. We do not want to be double-minded. And then in the second chapter of the book of James, we talked about a faith that does not have respect to persons of faith without partiality. And that's also very needful. And then that second chapter of James also emphasizes the need for faith to be accompanied with works. Praise the Lord, because faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. It's alone. And, you know, if we are walking in faith, there's going to be evidence of it. Oh, it comes in many forms. By the ways that we talk, by the ways we think, by the thoughts of our heart, all of those things bring forth faith. And we don't want to have a wavering faith. And yes, there's going to be evidence that we are walking by faith when it is so. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to go into the fifth chapter of the book of James. And I want to go through the whole chapter here tonight. I know all of it maybe doesn't particularly deal with the workings of faith specifically, but I just felt like this whole chapter was so relevant for the times that we are living in that I wanted to do the whole chapter here. So let's go here tonight to James chapter 5 and see how the Lord will work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so much to learn in God's Word. And this fifth chapter, too, if we were to outline it briefly, I believe we could say that the very first part of this chapter deals with the judgment of the rich, the elitists. And, oh, yes, the Lord knows how to put them down, how to take care of their determinations and their plotting, their planning, their devices, and all of that. And then this fifth chapter of the book of James also talks about the need for patience. And we know it's our faith in God that gives us the patience that we need to endure until the end. So there is no way, if we don't have faith, that we're going to make it through this world. And then in this chapter, yes, as it talks about the need for patience, it tells us that God is patient. He's very patiently waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And therefore, we need to be patient ourselves. Yes, the judge is at the door and he's ready to judge. And there's going to be that moment when he's going to repay. It's going to be so important that we cast not away our confidence, but we endure into the end. Amen. Oh, yes. And it talks about the prophets who were examples of patience. It deals with the patience of Job slightly. Oh, my. All the blessings that came forth because that man stood fast. And this fifth chapter tells us, above all things, to swear not. And then at the end it talks about the prayer of faith. And praise the Lord, with his help we're going to get into that. And of course, oh, it talks about Elijah and the faith that he had as we complete this chapter. Praise the Lord. But let's look at this fifth chapter of the book of James right now and see how the Lord might lead and guide here. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, it says, "Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." And then it describes a period of time when, oh my, I would say it's over. It says, "Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Oh my, and you know, I believe the times that we are facing cause us to know the seriousness of this hour. And we've already seen mandates that such as be in power have tried to impose. Sometimes you try to find sense out of what they were doing and what they are doing even. And there is none, you know. There's obviously, I would say, another motive than that which they are willing to reveal. But, oh, yes, we know that they are plotting and planning, and they have been, even since the beginning when Satan fell, Lucifer, as he was at that time, and, you know, sin came into the world. when Eve took up the fruit and gave it to her husband, Adam. And, you know, it hasn't been the same ever since. But, oh my, despite that, we know that the hour is coming when sin will be brought down 100%, and those that are partakers in such will also be brought down with it. And all the plotting and all the planning of the evil is going to be put to flight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our Lord is going to come, and he will judge this world in righteousness. And what a moment it will be. Yes, that first verse talked about the rich men that will weep and howl for their miseries that shall come upon them. We turn briefly here to the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to look at chapter 7 here for a moment, and I'm looking at verse 19 here. It says in Ezekiel 7, verse 19, "They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity." Oh my, so here it is when everything comes to an end. The curse of sin comes to the full, and oh my, here it is. Those that have used their money to get their way, to bring forth mandates, to cause great trouble, to put restrictions on people, and take advantage over the masses, doing anything for their own gain. Oh, the moment comes when all at once the realization is that their riches, their silver, their gold is not going to profit them any longer. And so here we have this discussion here in this 19th verse of Ezekiel 7, when they cast their gold into the streets. And you know, that realization that their wealth is not going to be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Isn't that something? Oh, yes, and they're not going to be able to satisfy their souls. Because there's that realization that, you know, it's over. And that stumbling block, oh yes, that desire they had for gain. And oh yes, to live by that means is going to be ended. Amen. Oh yes, they're going to just cast it aside and realize how unprofitable it is. Oh, yes. Oh, we see those descriptions other places too in God's Word. And oh my, what a moment that's going to be. People have used their power, their prestige, their riches. Oh, yes, to control other people, to disturb other people, and oh, to cause all kinds of sorrow and conflicts in this world. But oh my, yes, this moment is coming. It talks about it in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, just to go here for a moment. It tells us, if we look at verse 12 here in Revelation chapter 6, "And I beheld when he opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Oh, we see the reaction of the elitists. Oh yes, it tells us in verse 15, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, yes, and this is the prelude just to the seventh seal and when it's all going to be over. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, as this is coming to pass, and you know, these are various descriptions in God's word, but you know, they saw it as they were seeing it in the vision that God gave them, the prophets, that is. And you know, it'll really be something when this is a reality. And all at once, as they see God's wrath being poured out without measure, and all at once, the sun becomes as black as sackcloth. And you know, I don't know precisely the sequence of this, and I don't think we're going to know it until it happens. You know, the moon becoming blood and the stars of heaven falling, and you know, I just, the reaction is all these things that lead to that, I would say, come to pass. And all at once, it hits those that think that they are the ones in power. They've been striving to bring about their one world and, oh yes, control people that live on this earth. All at once they realize, hey, there's a greater than they are. Oh yes, there's a greater God, and he's coming forth, and he's not happy with them. He's indeed very angry. And they tried to get away from God. They tried to hide themselves. And in fact, it's so terrible in what they can feel and sense that they even cry to the mountains and rocks and ask them to fall on them. Anything to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Oh my, the great day of his wrath. And the big question, who shall be able to stand? But oh yes, we know that riches are so fleeting. And just, you know, as many have used riches for gain in this world, we know that as children of the Lord, that we have to be watchful. We have to, you know, discern at times. You know, we don't want that love of money to become a big part of us. Paul wrote to Timothy in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy. And he said in 1 Timothy 6, starting with verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11 warns here. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Oh yes, the fruit of the Spirit. Oh yes, that's what we need to strive for. That's what we want to be our focus. Well, we are warned here in this 6th chapter of 1 Timothy to not allow the wealth of this world to become a snare or a temptation unto us. It obviously has worked in many hearts and caused them to be lost, to be drowned in destruction and perdition, as it tells us in the 9th verse. Oh, because of that, because it became a great desire, it became an overwhelming ambition, because they began to love the riches of this world, that they fell into temptation and a snare, and it drowned them in its destruction and perdition. Oh, they fell into foolish and hurtful lusts, and yes, even erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, yes, we do well to listen to what he says, Paul to Timothy in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, we want to give heed to that, don't we? Oh, praise the Lord. But looking back here at the book of James, praise God, this fifth chapter, it tells us here, verse 4 here, talking about the rich men that are going to weep and howl for the miseries that will come upon them when the realization is that their gold and silver is no longer going to save them. Oh, yes, verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Oh, yes, that plotting and planning, thinking they're going to control this world and all the people that live in it. Verse 4, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Oh, praise the Lord, there is one that has seen it all, who has witnessed it all, and he knows what they have done by fraud. Oh, to gain advantages, to steal, to plot, to kill, to take away from those that deserved it. And those cries have come up to the ears of God. Amen. The Lord of Sabaoth. Oh, yes, and now it's judgment time. Verse 5 says, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your heart as in a day of slaughter. Oh, yes, that has been the way that they've existed, living in plenty and oh, in wantonness. Oh my, the pleasures of this earth, giving themselves what they wanted and thought they, you know, desired more than anything. But in reality, they had just nourished their hearts as in a day of slaughter. Oh, it's all going to come down. Oh, the evildoers are all going to be put down. Praise the Lord. And therefore, yes, we must not fret. Amen, as Psalm 37 so admonishes. Oh, yes. And it says in verse 6, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Oh, God has witnessed it all. And now is the time when God is going to judge this world. He's looked at it all ever since Cain slew Abel and the blood of innocent Abel cried out from the ground. And so it is. There is that cry, and the Lord hears it. Oh, it's forever crying. Amen. And oh, yes, that day when God will judge is coming forth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So therefore, we're told in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Oh, praise the Lord. This is so beautiful to know. Oh, that God is patiently waiting for the completion of his family, oh, to receive the congregation when he can therefore judge uprightly at that point. Praise the Lord. He is waiting. And it tells us in the seventh verse that God is patient. Oh, yes, he's waiting for something that is of great value to him. Yes, to him, the precious fruit of the earth, his children, the redeemed of the Lord, those that have lived for him and put him first. Oh, praise the Lord, as is described in Malachi, the third chapter. Oh, it tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. I love this 17th verse. It tells us how God sees his people. Oh, yes. It tells us in verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Oh, it's all going to be clear at that moment when God comes to judge this world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. But oh, yes, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And yes, it tells us in James, that fifth chapter, verse 7, that he hath long patience for it. Oh, yes, he's waiting it out until that last one has come to the Lord Jesus. And oh, yes, then he's going to put in the sickle and reap this earth in righteousness. Praise the Lord when it's complete until he received the early and the latter rain. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, because God is patient, he tells us in the eighth verse of this fifth chapter of James that we, as his children, also need to be patient. Yes, verse 8 tells us, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, praise the Lord. We do realize that the day is coming when God will judge this world in righteousness. Praise the Lord. And oh, we've seen so many things happening. We know, as we're told in the 21st chapter of the book of Luke, that when these things began to come to pass, then there's a need for us to look up and lift up our heads, because there's a realization our redemption draweth nigh, and we are seeing things. But oh, yes, as we wait for our Lord to come back, we must be patient. And we know that faith and patience work together. Oh, yes, in order to keep the faith, you know, we're going to have to draw upon patience. And you know, patience is going to need faith. Oh, you know, they work together. Because, you know, at times, things don't, they don't come to pass at the, you know, at the moment that we think it. You know, sometimes there's a process of waiting, enduring until it all comes to pass, even things that are needed. Sometimes we might have to wait until the Lord answers that prayer. Just as David the psalmist wrote in Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Oh, praise the Lord, how he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Praise the Lord, and established my goings. No, it talks about how he put that song in our heart, even praises to our God, and many shall see and fear and trust in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But see, there's a process. And I believe the psalmist knew what it was like to wait patiently. The answers didn't always come at the instant that it seemed that it was needed. But there's that learning process. And what we gain from those trials, from those tests, oh, we know, as you know, Brother Samuel has mentioned, you know, yes, as it tells us in the first chapter of James, that the trial of our faith, the trying of our faith worketh patience. And yes, how we are encouraged to let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Oh, there's a process, and the Lord knows all about it. And there are reasons that we may not know and maybe never know, but God knows, because he's working on us. He's working in us. Oh, yes, to get us to be that person that we need to be in Christ, so that we can be accepted of him. Yes, as he expresses it in that first chapter of James, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Oh, praise the Lord, reaching a maturity in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord through this process of being tried and tempted, letting patience have its perfect work. And here it is, as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Yes, this need to be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, yes, as we do this, as we wait patiently for our God, it tells us in verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And yes, there's that realization that God's coming back. He's going to judge this world in righteousness. You know, he has declared, vengeance is mine, saith God. I will repay. And we have that promise. Yes, he declared it. And so it is, that day when all is made right, when God's righteous judgment judges this world, not according to man's ways, not according to man's thinking, no, but according to God's righteous judgment. Oh, how important it is that we give heed to the things that are written, that we work to align our lives in accordance to the Word of God. Because, yes, God is not a respecter of persons, and he's not going to judge us because of something or the other, you know, that we might think, you know, might give us advantage. No, God doesn't think that way. He's going to judge according to his own judgment, his own righteous judgment. Amen. And how we need to give heed. And while we're waiting patiently for the Lord, that day when he comes to judge, tells us in Hebrews the 10th chapter, here are more warnings. Verse 35, here in Hebrews the 10th chapter, verse 35 tells us, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And then we're told in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, praise the Lord. So there's only going forward. There's, oh, yes, this matter of waiting patiently for the Lord, and yes, letting the Lord do his work in our lives, and standing on the promises of God, not casting away that confidence that we have in God, because we know we have this promise, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Amen. That's for sure. And it's going to happen. So yes, we allow that to be a part of our thinking, and regardless of how long we've got to wait, we hang on to that. Because, yes, we live by faith. And if we draw back, if we run away, if we are like Lot's wife and look back, then God will have no pleasure in us or in any individual who would do so. But with the help and strength of God, through faith, we're not going to be of them who draw back unto perdition. Perdition means damnation. And oh my, we don't want to do that, you know. Oh, it isn't, you know, once saved, always saved, as some religions seem to think. But oh my, we've got to hang on to the things that are good and true. We've got to keep walking with the Lord. We've got to keep that faith. You know, we've got to keep striving for the ministry, for the mastery. Amen. Oh yes, and that promise of God. Amen. That realization that one of these moments He is going to come and not tarry any longer. So we hang on to all of this. And as we read here in James, the 5th chapter, oh yes, it tells us again in that 9th verse, grudge not one against another. Oh yes, oh, we don't want to get in one another's ways. We don't want any deep-rooted resentment to come in. Oh, you know, any reluctance, you know, to oblige another brother or sister. Oh my, we don't want to grudge against one another. And oh, there's a warning there, lest ye be condemned, because the judge standeth before the door. Jesus Christ standeth before the door, ready to judge. And then we're told in verse 10, oh yes, that we need to take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Amen. Oh, yes, they endured. They, oh, yes, went through all kinds of conflicts and troubles and sufferings and persecutions. And here we're told that we can take them as an example. Look at their suffering, their affliction, their patience. Oh, yes, their willingness to endure suffering, to endure conflict and trouble, tribulation, and all of those things for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we take them as an example. They went forth, they spoke in the name of the Lord. Oh, no matter how much opposition they had. Oh, you know, when you read the story of Jeremiah and look at how he was opposed and how alone he stood, and likewise with the other prophets, oh, we realize that it could not have been easy. But oh, because there was a love in their hearts for the Lord, there was a realization that they needed to stand on the true word of God. And that there was no backing down. And even if they stood alone, that they must endure and speak the things that God would have them to say. Amen. Therefore, we could take them as an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Verse 11 here in James 5 tells us, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. We see, oh, Job's struggles in that book. Oh, yes, you know, we know he had great hardship. We know that he had opposition. We know even his friends said things that were very disheartening, very discouraging, even mean. Oh, yes, they were pathetic. But praise the Lord, Job maintained his integrity and his love for the Lord. And even though even his wife thought maybe he should just, you know, give up and, you know, let it go. You know, I just die. No, He knew that she spoke as a foolish woman. Oh, yes, because I believe Job foresaw the things that were ahead. And he knew that if he could just stand somehow, that, oh, there would be answers. You know, that somehow God would take him through those trials and those tests. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he was able to stand. He was able to endure. He had that testimony that he knew that his Redeemer liveth. As it tells us in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he knew that it would pay to endure until the end. Oh, yes, because he had faith. Faith that one day, oh, yes, he was going to see the Redeemer. Oh, yes, that God was going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. And even though, yes, he had been long dead, even though his skin had been destroyed, eaten by worms, so to speak, yet he knew that even in his flesh, oh, there's going to be a resurrection, and he was going to see God. He was going to see God for himself. His eyes were going to behold him, and not another. Praise the Lord. Even though, yes, his reins would be consumed within him. Oh, all his inner organs and everything else, his whole body decayed. Yet, oh, yes, he knew that there was going to be a resurrection. And I believe Job held on to that faith. Oh, he held on to the promises of God, what he knew. You know, God came through for Job. Oh, praise the Lord. God came through. There was that moment when it was over, that trial, that test, all those boils and everything else. Oh, it was over. And God delivered him. Praise the Lord. God turned the captivity of Job around when he prayed for his friends. It tells us in that 42nd chapter of Job. Yes. And then the Lord blessed him and gave Job twice as much as he had before. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The wonder of it all. Oh, yes. They all came back to him. Those that had scorned him and, you know, turned from him, they came back. And that latter end of Job was blessed more than his beginning. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she ashes. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the goodness of the Lord. If we could just hold on and maintain our faith and look to God and hold to his promises. But here we're told in verse 12 here in James 5, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation." Oh, yes, there is a need to say what we mean what we say. Oh, praise the Lord, and not waver in that. And you know, he wants us, you know, yes, our yes needs to mean yes. Our no needs to mean no. Amen. And he tells us we should never swear by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. Oh, yes, you know, the masonry thing where, you know, they swear on the Bible and, you know, come to the lodge and hope of light. How foolish and how unscriptural it is. But, oh, yes, here James felt it very necessary to tell us, above all things, to swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Oh, yes. Something to give heed to, indeed. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But, oh, yes, as we continue this study here, let's look at this latter portion that talks about the prayer of faith. Amen. There's a question here in verse 13. Oh, it's asked, is any among you afflicted? And, you know, afflicted means to be going through hardships or suffering troubles, suffering afflictions, in other words. So a question is asked, is any among you afflicted? And then the response is, let him pray. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to deliver us out of our afflictions, out of our trouble. He knows how to make a way. Praise the Lord. And here we are admonished to pray if that should be the case. And then another question, is any merry, you know, light of heart and happy and, you know, feeling joyful? Praise the Lord. Then, you know, we're told, let him sing psalms. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the way to rejoice. That's the way to be happy. That's the way to have the victory. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, oh, the songs of Zion. And, you know, I would say, yeah, the joyful songs, the hymns that we sing, you know, that edify, that tell the story, that encourage faith. Amen. Yes, that's the response that we need if we should be light of heart or merry, joyful. Oh, sing psalms. Amen. Worship the Lord. Oh, yes, tell of his goodness. Praise the Lord. And then another question in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Oh, yes. Could it be? Well, here is the response. It says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And I realize that many of you are far away and we may not literally be able to anoint you with oil. But praise the Lord, we can pray one for another. And by faith, oh yes, go forth and believe God. And of course, you know, it's all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that power that is above any other power, that name that is above any other name. Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, yes, we can pray one for another in that sense. And if you do have a church family, it should be possible then to call for the elders of the church. And then, therefore, the plan is that they should be prayed over and anointed with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, I'm just remembering, you know, years ago, Pastor David used to tell the story of this dear lady, Sister Hart, who lived in Clintonville, and that's quite a story. She was the woman that used to see David Meyer as a young man, and, you know, he was often dressed in black, and, you know, quite the character, I guess you could say. But this woman, she'd sit on her porch and, you know, see the young people from time to time, and, you know, she saw David. And God put it on her heart to pray for him. And it was quite a story because, you know, when David finally did come to the church and the Lord saved him and, you know, he repented and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, well, this woman was grinning from ear to ear because she'd been praying for that young man. She used to say, who is he? Who is he? And, you know, someone told her, oh, that's Dave Meyer and all that sort of thing. But anyway, you know, God answered her prayer, and thank God that, you know, it was on her heart to pray for him. But, you know, she had not always known the Lord in the fullness of the truth. And the story is that she used to go to another church, and she lived close to a tavern. And, you know, there was this Sunday when she was too sick to go to church, but somehow she was looking out the window, and after church was over, she noticed, you know, the so-called elders of that church, or whoever they were, they're the ones in charge. After they came out of the church, what were they doing? They were going into the tavern. And somehow she had been reading in the Bible, and she realized, you know, that it told, you know, if you were sick, that you should call for the elders of the church and be anointed with oil, and that in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that prayer of faith would save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And you know, this lady, Sister Hart, as we always called her, she realized, hey, something must be wrong here. I mean, if I'm supposed to call for them and they're heading for the tavern after they went to church, I don't think, you know, I want them to pray for me. In fact, I don't even think they would. You know, however she thought. But it was an eye-opener. And oh my, it caused her to realize that these were people leading a church that didn't know the living God. They didn't know the power of prayer. They hadn't forsaken sin, and praise the Lord, this dear woman came to know the Lord. Yes. Oh, yes, and came to the little Clintonville church, Clintonville Tabernacle there, and found God, repented of her sins, and I know she is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But see, it was that 15th verse, the 14th and 15th verses, that really caught her eye that day, and that realization, hey, something is wrong. Oh, something is wrong. I need some people that really know the Lord, that, you know, could pray for me, and yeah, that my sick body could be healed. But oh, what a wonder these scriptures are. Yes, because they are very positive. Yes, first of all, the instructions to call for the elders of the church to be prayed over, anointed with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And verse 15 is so positive. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, praise the Lord, a very declarative statement here. And it says that the Lord shall raise him up. And besides that, there's another aspect that's brought out in this 15th verse. And it says, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Oh, what a wonder this is, the plan of God, because, oh, there's more to it. Oh, yes, that prayer of faith. And, you know, I know, you know, it was mentioned on Sunday. I know Brother Samuel was dealing with faith in his study, his preaching on Sunday. And, you know, he talked about that man that was sick of palsy there. And, you know, his friends had faith. And I believe that man who had the palsy had faith. And we know the story. They felt they must bring him to Jesus. But when they got to the place where Jesus was, that house was so full that there was no more room. There wasn't standing room in that house. And what could they do but go up to the roof and take off the tiles, so that they could bring this man who was sick of the palsy down to Jesus. And you know, what a story, because, you know, Jesus saw their faith, and that's very clear. The 9th chapter of Matthew brings that out. And his response amazed them all, because what did Jesus say to the sick of the palsy? Initially, what did he say first of all? But he saw their faith. Oh, yes, those foursome who brought that man down, and the man who was sick of the palsy. Oh, Jesus' response was, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, those that were there, scribes and so on, oh, they thought, oh, that's terrible. This man blasphemeth. Of course, Jesus knew their thoughts. And, oh, you know, he said, wherefore think evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Oh, yeah. With God, you know, he can heal and he can save. You know, one isn't any harder than the other. Praise the Lord. You know, it was the same. But first he chose to forgive that man his sins. And of course, he was using it to illustrate the point that as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, that he had power on earth to forgive sins. Oh, yes, and praise the Lord, after he had first forgiven that man of his sins, he then healed him of his sickness and said to that man, arise, take up thy bed, and go in unto thine house. Praise the Lord, and that man arose and departed to his house. And the multitude saw it, and they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Oh, praise the Lord. But, you know, we see that Jesus forgave those sins. And it's so often healing and the forgiveness of sins comes together there. I note something else in the fifth chapter of the book of John that I'd just like to illustrate at the moment. And here we have the story of the man that was impotent, and he had laid by the pool of Bethesda for a long many years, 38 years to be exact. And you know, Jesus came by and you know, and asked the man if he wanted to be made whole. Of course, this man answered and said he didn't have anyone to put him into the water when the pool was troubled, and the angel came forth to trouble the water, and the first one that would step in would be healed. You know, somebody always stepped in before him. But Jesus told that man, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And praise the Lord, it tells us in the fifth chapter of the book of John, in the ninth verse, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And of course, Jesus was criticized for that. Oh yes, the Jews were very good at that. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And that man that was healed answered in verse 11, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. But afterwards, in a while, Jesus found him. Verse 14 tells us, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And it tells us in 15, the 15th verse, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. But I thought Jesus' response was quite telling here. He told that man when he found him in the temple, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Oh, yes, there's often a connection with sin and the need for healing at times. So, and it's brought out here in the 15th verse to some extent. It's not always the case, because we know, just, you know, when Jesus was asked at another point, you know, who sinned because this man was born blind, you know, Jesus said, you know, it wasn't his parents and it wasn't the man, but it was that God would be glorified. Yes, that it would, you know, give glory to God. But sometimes there is a connection. And, you know, here in James 5, verse 15, again, notice how it goes together. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing, because, oh my, you know, we could be healed of all kinds of ugly things that could potentially be a problem. But, oh my, we still have sin in our life. We're still condemned, aren't we? No, foremost we need to be forgiven our sins. We need to give our sins over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And I love this connection here. I think it's quite something to note. You know, and I just have to just reflect here a moment. I just remember one time, I believe we were in Madison at that point, and I had a bad headache, and one of the elders in that congregation, or maybe I think he was a visiting evangelist at that point, you know, had heard that I had a headache, and, you know, he asked me if I wanted to be prayed for. And it was quite something. Yes, I went up for prayer, therefore. And, you know, when he put his hand on me and started praying in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he had anointed me with oil, you know, there was like a snap or something. And it was really something, because I realized there was something I was holding on to. It had been a stronghold in my life. And praise the Lord, you know what? It left. It completely left at that moment. And, it, you know, it was so amazing to me. It wasn't something I really wanted to hang on to. But, oh, the Lord used that headache and that moment, that prayer of faith, to deliver me from that situation, from that thing that was in my heart. And praise the Lord, you know, sometimes there's reasons, there's things that people that love the Lord are hanging on to that need to go. Amen. And thank the Lord. Sometimes we just need that prayer of faith. Oh, yes, that deliverance in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, for sure, we don't want sin hanging over us. Praise the Lord. And oh, thank the Lord that he is so faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here, as we continue in James 5, verse 16 tells us, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that she may be healed. And I'm pausing here to just remember that, you know, Job, when God took that bondage off from him, he prayed for his friends, and that's when it lifted. That's when it went, when he prayed for his friends. Praise the Lord, that affliction that was upon Job. Praise the Lord. So here we're told in verse 16, confess your faults. And it's not talking about confessing your sins, you know, like some people go before a priest to confess their sins. No, we go to Jesus Christ. But it talks about confessing faults in this case, one to another, and then pray one for another. Oh, yes, that you may be healed. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's something to it. You know, sometimes, you know, you might think your deliverance, your healing isn't going to come. But start praying for other people. Oh, my, and you might be amazed how the Lord responds to your need at the same time or shortly thereafter. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it tells us here, verse 16, the second half here, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's the kind of prayer that we want to pray. And oh, there are words here, there's adjectives and verbs here that we need to note here. An effectual prayer is one that is effective, that has power to accomplish that which is desired. Fervent means that it's from the heart. It's red hot. It's alive. It's genuine. It's not just lip service. It's hot and it's glowing. You know, it's not flowery words that someone utters just to be heard or to be admired by man. No, it's fervent. It's from the heart. You know, it's with faith. Amen. And then it says, of a righteous man. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we want to be right with God. Oh, and that is so important. That's the prayer that God is going to hear. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we don't want to regard iniquity in our hearts. Oh, the psalmist said in Psalm 66 that, you know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But praise the Lord, we've given it over to the Lord. We've repented of our sins. We've turned away from the world and all those ungodly things that we know of. And therefore, yes, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it says it availeth much. You know what that means, availeth? It means that it accomplishes much. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, that prayer that comes from the heart, that prayer of faith, of unwavering faith that is effectually wrought, you know, with all the heart, you know, with, you know, determination, not wavering, not looking back, you know. Oh, no, in faith. Oh, praise the Lord. It's told us here that it availeth much. It's going to accomplish what is needed. Oh, praise the Lord. And sometimes there are other things that need to go. Sometimes there's hindrances in our life that need to go before God can do the greater thing as or whatever, you know, we need from the Lord. But oh, how important it is, yes, to get right with God. As it tells us to confess your faults one to another, you know, we don't want to have a self-righteous attitude. You know, there's no room for that in the kingdom of God, that element of pride, those attitudes of being superior, such notions like that. No, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that we would be exalted in due time. But, oh, that fervent prayer of a righteous man. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the prayer that we want to have. That's the prayer of faith. That's the prayer that moves the mountains. Praise the Lord. That's the prayer that gets us from this world to the next. Oh, praise the Lord as we begin to hang on to the promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and we run this race with patience, this race that is set before us. Oh, yes, because we know that in order to endure to the end, we must have faith. And we must have patience to go with it. Oh, yes, because we can't draw back. We can't give up. You know, we can't turn away. We've got to keep going forward. We have to keep on having faith. We have to keep on believing God, no matter what somebody else says, no matter if somebody else deserts. Oh, no matter if we're left alone, no matter if it looks like nothing is ever going to happen. We still believe God. We still stand on His promises because, yes, one of these days, He that shall come will come and shall not tarry. Oh my, it's going to be over one of these moments. Oh yes. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to come. And oh, what a moment that's going to be when every eye shall see Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those that had trampled Him and scorned Him and rebelled against Him. Oh, that moment when He comes forth as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, as the righteous judge. Oh, here He comes. the one who has patiently waited for the precious through the earth and had long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Oh, praise the Lord, here he comes, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the righteous judge. Oh, praise the Lord, cometh with clouds. Oh, praise the Lord, those great witnesses. Oh, praise the Lord, he comes back. And every eye shall see him. Oh, yes, the resurrection of the dead is, all of this is coming to pass, culminating all of these things of this earth. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Oh, praise the Lord, the workings of faith. But oh, how we want to continue in faith. We don't want to look back. Oh, we want to have that faith that doesn't waver. Oh, yes. A faith that is tried, that has patience with it. A faith that is accompanied with works of faith. Praise the Lord. A faith that has no partiality or respect of persons. Oh, yes. That prayer of faith. Oh, yes. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Oh, praise the Lord, the workings of faith. Oh, as God works in our hearts, let him work works of faith within us so that we can stand before him, so we can be judged righteous, so that we can endure this race and go forward. Oh, yes. And forever be at home with our God. Oh, praise the Lord, that faith work in our hearts. Praise the Lord, oh, the wonderful workings of faith. Oh, that God works within us so that one day we can stand before him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. My hope, my desire is that all of us would be together and all of us be ready to meet the Lord. Oh, yes, when he comes in the clouds. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, with those that have been faithful, those that have been judged righteous. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, by his grace and by his mercy. Oh, by keeping the faith, by going forward. Amen. Praising our God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, after a message like that, it just seems fitting and appropriate to sing our theme song tonight. And I think you all know what that is. Number 78 in the chorus book, Keep on Walking by Faith. Number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you. Lord.